The Office of Personnel Management and its new acting director are in crisis mode right now as the agency responds to the largest breach of federal employee data in history. But among the many challenges Beth Cobert faces as she takes the helm at OPM is making sure the agency pays attention to its basic human capital management missions and doesn't get distracted by the emergency at hand. So says our next guest, Don Kettle, the management expert at the University of Maryland School of Public Policy. Kettle told me the data breach probably wasn't the fault of former OPM director Catherine Archuleta, but her departure from the agency wasn't a surprise either.
It's sadly a case where it probably was inevitable. The size of this breach and the difficulty that OPM had in trying to put its arm around it just created some fundamental problems of trust and damage to the agency's reputation. And it's one of those cases where clearly the problems happened long before she took office, but there always is a case of something of the size where there's a need for some kind of human sacrifice. And she was, sadly, in this case, the person who was sacrificed in the position. It was clear that there were problems that needed to be addressed and that it was a case where fresh blood needed to come in to be able to do it, not only to try to manage the problems, but also to try to restore some trust.
And I guess one of the factors, too, would have been that the calls for her resignation from the Hill were increasingly abundant after the notification of the last breach. Is that a factor, too, just that loss of confidence in Congress?
That was a factor. There were members of Congress from both parties increasingly who were calling for her resignation, and it not only had to do with the nature of the breach and OPM's struggle to try to put its arm around it, but what seemed to be some quiet concerns about the confidence that members of Congress had in Director Archuleta and being able to do that. There were suggestions that maybe the answers that she was able to give were not quite as forceful as I might have been. They were looking for, I think, someone who expressed confidence in being able to say, look, I understand the problem. I'm going to put my arms around this problem. I'm going to solve this problem. And there was concern on a bipartisan basis that was growing about confidence in her ability to be able to do that. So that plus the need on the part of many people just for some fresh air in attacking the problem was what led to the resignation in the end.
And so, of course, this is not the first time this White House has looked to someone within OMB to fill an agency leadership role during sort of a crisis situation. In what ways do you see similarities and differences between this scenario and what happened, for example, at IRS with Danny Werfel stepping in and HHS with Sylvia Matthews Burwell stepping in there?
Sure. I mean, this is a case where OMB is one of the very best repositories of management talent in the entire federal government. You have people who not only are at the top of their game because OMB itself is such an outstanding place that has had such good luck in recruiting such good people, but also the people in OMB tend to have a government-wide perspective of the sort that's very hard to get anywhere else in government. So that you put the combination of top talent and the broad perspective together, and it's a natural place to go for the kind of fixer that you need to step in to deal with problems that range from the IRS to the Obamacare website problem to ultimately now the problem of dealing with the data breach at OPM.
And Danny Werfel was on the air with us this morning, and he mentioned to us or reminded us that when he came in as the acting commissioner, he basically replaced the entire C-suite because he felt there needed to be an infusion of new leadership there. Would you expect something similar to happen at OPM, or should the effort be more along the lines of leadership stability at this point to some degree?
Well, in the case of OPM, it's an even more challenging position because the agency has been without a deputy director for some time.
Right.
There's been some churn among some of the senior positions anyway. My sense is that what is really needed is a couple of things, all of which have to happen simultaneously. There needs to be an effort to try to get a handle on the nature of the data breach, an improvement in the way in which that's communicated out to federal employees who are, in many cases, very worried about whether or not they're included or not and what, if anything, they ought to do about it. There needs to be an effort to try to figure out how to shore up OPM's databases to make sure this doesn't happen again, because one of the things that's often overlooked is that OPM is a large constellation of separate and quasi-integrated databases out there. And so those need to be set up, created, protected, and safeguarded as time goes by. And that's a central piece. But then there's the even more fundamental problem of OPM's basic mission, which is to try to serve the human capital needs of the federal government. It's clear that that's been a serious weakness for some time now. And the either acting director or permanent director is going to need to put serious attention to the need to figure out how the right people can be hired for the right jobs in the right places at the right times. And that's something that has been a growing problem in OPM, and because there's a problem in OPM for the rest of the government as well. So not only does attention have to be paid to the data breach, but much more attention has to be paid to this basic strategic human capital problem. And that's a 1-2 punch that Beth Corbett now faces as she takes the helm at OPM.
It's a really important point, because I think, I would guess there would be a temptation if you're thrust into one of these leadership positions in an emergency situation where all of the oversight attention is focused on, in this case, the data breach. There's a risk that you pay less attention than you ought to be to the agency's fundamental underlying missions that have to keep going every day.
And that's exactly right. If you step back and look at the situation, for better or worse, the data breach question, as huge as it is, might actually be the easier one from the point of view of OPM, because it's going to get plenty of help from the FBI, from the National Security Agency, from Jim Clapper and his national security and cybersecurity people. There's going to be a lot of reinforcements that are going to be brought in from around the rest of the government. And so that is something that in the short to the medium term, it's possible to imagine OPM getting its arms around. The more serious problem is OPM's basic mission, which could risk being pushed aside and neglected. And if that's neglected, that's the thing that only it can do. And so if that doesn't happen, if OPM doesn't pay attention to that, the implications of that on the longer haul could be much more serious and much more deadly. And while it's tempting to pay attention just to the headline-grabbing things on the front burner, that's a case where OPM is going to have a lot of help. It's not going to have a lot of help on the core mission issues, and if it doesn't get that done, then it's not going to get done at all by anybody.
All right. I guess in an ideal world, you would always want a permanent Senate-confirmed director in any of these leadership positions, but with a year and a half left to go in the administration, is it reasonable to expect that maybe Ms. Corbett just rides out the rest of the administration in an acting capacity? And if so, does that matter much?
Well, there are restrictions on how long individuals can serve in acting capacities, although in the past there have been all sorts of ways that people in acting positions have been able to hang on with appointments, reappointments, and other kinds of things. It's easy to believe that the administration would want to avoid a major confirmation battle in this position at this time going into the campaign. It's also easy to imagine that Congress would have a hard time getting its Confirmation Act together in this position in particular. It's easy to imagine that Beth Corbett is going to have this position for the remainder of the administration, and the only question is how best to try to arrange that she can keep it. She's absolutely superb and a great choice for this, and so it's a matter of tactical question for the administration of how best to make sure that she can continue to serve. But my guess is that the administration is going to want to try to avoid a major confirmation battle. But she needs to be able to have confidence and support for doing the job. And she needs some people around her, including a deputy director who can help shoulder the burden that she's going to be sharing here.
Last thing, just to follow up on your comment about her being a great choice for this. Explain a little bit why you think that's so. How do her skill sets and experience align with what OPM needs right now?
She's got great experience in the private sector, for starters, at McKinsey, and really understands the human capital business. In addition to that, she has been deputy director for management and chief performance officer for the federal government for a long time. She has that perspective to be able to bring. And then on top of that, she has a special perspective that comes from serving in OMB and the opportunity to be able to think carefully about what it is that a government-wide perspective on these issues might bring. And to that, I guess I would add one last thing, is it's clear that she has the confidence of most of the key players here on top of that. She's got the background and the experience and the confidence, and that's the critical collection of combinations in this combination lock to make sure that she can actually do the job that needs to be done.